Jody here, and I will borrow a phrase from Chris, one of our deacons, and say, "Good morning, church." Wherever you are in the world, wherever you're listening from, you are welcome as we gather together in cyberspace to worship. Stuart and I have been at home on staycation, so to allow him to have a break, it's me recording the message this week. But don't worry, I recorded this beforehand, so I have had a break too. It does feel rather serendipitous that I should be doing it this week. Liturgically, it's almost exactly 1 year since I took the very last service at Carey before the lockdown. I wonder if you were there. I wonder if you remember it. We had just had the Pancakes and Praise event for the young people, and it was a follow-up parade service on the theme of Lent. We looked at how Lent is a time to prepare for Easter, and gave out invitations to the Easter celebration. Little did we know what was about to happen. Well, I'm going to open now by using again the call to worship from that parade service. So let us pray. As we gather today, help us, Lord, to hear beyond the noisy world. Help us to recognize your voice, to listen to what you have to say to us, and to hold your word in our hearts. Amen. This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. But before I read it, let me tell you a story. About 12 years ago, I decided to learn how to make curries as good as an Indian restaurant's. I got a book on the subject, and I read up on their techniques and recipes, and I had a go myself. But no matter how carefully I followed the recipe, I struggled to make a really successful curry. It seemed that whatever I did, the end result was always bitter and woody. It was just like putting a spoonful of the raw spice mix directly into my mouth to chew on. It was not at all nice. I googled the problem and discovered, apparently, that the answer was salt. Now, when I say I followed the recipe carefully, I actually meant except for the addition of salt. Back then, I generally ignored salt on a recipe. Cutting down on salt was something that we were all trying to do, and it was one of the reasons for cooking from scratch. Well, anyway, salt always seemed like a little bit of an add-on on the bottom of the list of ingredients, but I gave it a go and I added some salt. And my memory of that first taste after the addition of the salt will stay with me forever. The curry was miraculously transformed. There was no hint of bitterness or taste of woody spices. It was just a totally delicious, perfectly spiced curry, worthy of any curry house. It was pure alchemy. I was shocked by how much a little bit of salt can make such a radical transformation. Of course, needless to say, since then, my cooking, particularly my curries, has been revolutionised. So, to the reading. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This reading is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and comes just after the Beatitudes. And to start with, I want to look at the opening couple of verses, verses 13 and 14. And I want you to hear what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus' words are directed to the gathered crowd, ordinary people, as well as the religious elite, God's chosen people of Israel. And through our adoption into that family, his words are also directed to us now. And I want you to really hear what he says. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If you are anything like me, then you probably absorb negative things more readily than positive. So, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I would be quite likely to read this and hear, you should be the salt of the earth. Why have you lost it? You ought to be the light of the world. Why are you hiding it? But that's not at all what Jesus said. And I want us to really hear what he did say and to receive it and to let it sink in. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We are very good at putting ourselves down, at thinking that we ought to be doing something or that we should be doing more. And really, it's time to stop with all the shoulds and the oughts. They come from a place of misperceived obligation that is nothing to do with the call of Jesus. We need to start appreciating what we're doing, what is going on despite our restricted circumstances. So, like the disciples bringing John the Baptist news of the kingdom after he asked for confirmation from his prison cell, let me bring you news and tell you that my view from the manse is of cakes being baked, food being donated, Zoom sessions being scheduled, youth activities being planned, masks being sewn, prayers being prayed, good news being uploaded, letters, cards, and messages of encouragement being sent, shopping being done, time and care being given, charities and causes being supported, and giving increased. The people of God, based at Carey Baptist Church, are busy doing what they can do to be salt and light to the people around them. Going about seasoning the world, shining light into the dark. So hear this and be encouraged. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So that's the first few verses. Salt and light. Now, how does this relate to what follows in verses 17 to 20, where Jesus is talking about the law and fulfilling the law? Well, starting with verse 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. by referring to his purpose and the mission of fulfilling the law. I think that Jesus is hinting that he himself will be salt and light too. The law was a way of life which was meant to keep the people in a right relationship with God. A way of life that was meant to be a beacon of light to the world. But over time, the religious leaders had devised a way of keeping this law, which had involved, or which did involve, meticulously adhering to a huge list of do's and don'ts, shoulds and oughts. Lots of effort in order to try and fulfill the law and stay right with God. Light for the world, hidden under a pile of regulations. Then Jesus came, and basically he says that in him is a way of fulfilling the law that will bring about a righteousness that surpasses this unattainable righteousness of the Pharisees. He doesn't use these words here, but he implies, I am the way. This new way will be achieved through me. Now, at this point, he doesn't say anything about how it will be achieved, but for us, with the benefit of knowing the whole story, we know that his life, death, and resurrection are perhaps the ultimate expression of God's radically transformative salt and light. And as ever, Jesus frames what he's saying with a challenge. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Entering the kingdom of heaven is not about where we go when we die. It's about living now in God's light and being salt and light to the world. And so this is Jesus' challenge to us. Will we realize that we have God's gift of righteousness, something which surpasses our Pharisaical attempts at being righteous, this free gift offered to us through Jesus' death and resurrection? And will we live in this freedom and in turn offer the world the kind of transformative salt and light that characterizes God's kingdom? Now, I'm going to end with one final metaphor. We've had the metaphors of salt and light, and now it's the turn of the well-used metaphor of the caterpillar going into the chrysalis and then emerging as a beautiful butterfly. It's easy enough to see the results of the change that take place. Caterpillar into cocoon, cocoon into butterfly. But do you actually know what happens inside the cocoon? What would you expect to find if you cut one open? Not that I'm suggesting that you do that, but just imagine it. What would you expect to find? Perhaps some kind of hybrid insect, a halfway stage between a caterpillar and a butterfly as the change takes place. Well, you might be surprised to hear that there is no such stage. Inside, the first thing that happens is that the caterpillar digests itself into a kind of soupy enzyme ooze. It literally melts down. We have been in lockdown long enough that this idea might feel very familiar. The whole COVID-19 experience has been like some kind of giant season of Lent for life, a season of stripping back, of emptying, of being laid bare, a season of meltdown. Do you wonder what could possibly come out of this mess? Does the idea that you are or ever could be salt and light sound beyond belief? Well, here's the good news. Obviously, we know that the caterpillar meltdown isn't the end of the story. In the soupy ooze, there is a small number of specialized cells which survive the digestive process. Intriguingly, these cells are called imaginary discs. Once the caterpillar has completely disintegrated, the imaginary discs start using the protein-rich, oozy soup to fuel the cell division needed to develop and form a butterfly. I love this. Imaginary discs. That has to be the best scientific name ever. It resounds with hope and vision. It's like the scientist discovered it and realized it was God's imagination, his gem of an idea for a butterfly, hidden away inside the caterpillar. Let me assure you, if you're feeling like your life is a soupy ooze at the moment, God's imaginary discs, his vision of how you will be, are still there. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, we are reminded of this, that we are held in being. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 3, we are also reminded that God's seed, the truth of how he has created us, is embedded in us. It says God has set eternity in the human heart. God's imaginary discs will not dissolve in our soupy ooze. They are always there in us. And when the time is right, there will be God's vision, growth, and emergence from the cocoon. Now, a caterpillar doesn't have any choice about what kind of butterfly it will become. But we do have choices about what kind of human beings we will become. And I'm going to end with this question, and it's also a repetition of the way that Jesus challenged in this passage. What will our lives look like when we emerge? Will we, as the people of God, fully embrace the knowledge of God's gift of righteousness, which is offered to us through Jesus' death and resurrection? And will we, the people of God, then offer to the world the kind of transformative salt and light that we've just received? The kind of transformative salt and light that characterizes God's kingdom? That's the question. That's the choice that we have. We can say, yes, this is how we want to live. Well, at least I hope we will. Because as Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Amen. And now, Graham and Jane Fletcher, who are members of the congregation here at Carey Baptist Church, are going to bring our prayers of intercession.
We find today's reading a real challenge. Does the way we live our lives glorify God? We are to become the salt, that adds savour to the life of others before our salt loses its tang. The reading demands that we make our light obvious in the way we treat others, so that they realise the root of our actions and praise our Father in heaven. So, as we pray together, please would you ask yourselves, does the light of Christ show in the way I live my life?
Let us pray. Father, we think of the many situations, both nationwide and worldwide, that seem out of our control, about which we can do nothing. The quality and quantity of PPE given to NHS staff and care staff. The inequality of distributions of vaccines across the world. Climate change. Wars and people living under suppressive regimes. The lack of food for those of all ages going hungry, both here and abroad. We bring to you these situations which concern us most. Show us what we can do. Writing letters to our MP. Signing petitions to demand a parliamentary debate. Doing everything we can to make the world fairer and greener. Father, make us active in prayer and deed.
We think of those locally who are struggling. We may know them well. They may just be passing acquaintances. Or we may just be aware of the problems of those we have never met. Let us bring those people before our Father and ask what we can do. Prompt us to action, Lord, in prayer and deed.
And our thoughts turn to our church. Many of us are missing our normal church activities and fellowship and worry what the future holds for Carey. Look after us as a church, Lord. Give us the confidence to make that call, send an email, text or note, or to join the Zoom meetings. Keep us worshipping together and caring for each other.
Lord, you have told us that we are the salt and light of the world. Encourage and support us to be just that. We know we can ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Graham and Jane. And all that remains is for me to end with a blessing. May God, who is maker and friend, hold you safe in his Spirit's power. Protect you from all that seeks to pull you away from him. Lead you, guide you, and inspire you in every moment of your life. For his kingdom's reign. Amen. We will be back with you next week, and Stuart will be back in the recording seat. So until then, go well and have a blessed week.